Well, we're thankful for that. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, tonight our heart's desire in prayer is that somehow tonight you would help us to realize the importance of prayer. And as that sinks into our minds, it would be incorporated into our lives. And we really would pray. And I know, Father, I have a long ways to go on that one. And in a sense, we could look at our church and perhaps say we have a long ways to go when it comes to praying. And yet, Father, in other ways, we know that you're gracious and you've been good and you've heard our prayers. And we can say with the psalmist, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and delivered him. We have experienced that in our lives, often prayers like that. We're desperate. But we want to be more than that. We want to be praying even when we're not desperate, because we know the importance of it and the value of it, and more importantly, that you taught us to do it. And so we thank you for that, for we prayed in Jesus' name. Amen. There's two little statements. The next one on the board, well, maybe, hopefully, there it is. Funny thing happens when you don't pray. What is it? Nothing. All right? How many times that isn't true? There's another one. See the next one. We got to make them come right up there, Brent. Do a different. If you don't feel like praying, talk to God about it. So if you ever wake up and don't feel like praying, just go talk to God, and that would be a great thing. Tonight we're going to be thinking about it. You probably heard about the two men who were fishermen, and we're going to have to move that, or I'm going to kick that all night. And they were a little bit apprehensive because the good fishing hole was, you had to cross this farmer's field, and the farmer didn't really give them permission to fish there. But anyway, there was two good fishing over there to stand back. So they jumped the fix, went across the pasture, got to the fishing hole, and they were busy fishing. And as they were fishing away, one of them turned around, and the farmer, knowing what they had done, let out the bull. And so the bull is charging across this pasture land towards them, and they are really getting frightened. So they jump up from where they are, and they start running for the fence, and it's very obvious they are not going to win. And one of them says to the other, "Start praying." And the guy says, "I don't know how to pray. I've never prayed before." He says, "You got to pray anyway." He says, "Well, then I'm going to pray for what the only prayer I've ever heard. Lord, for what we're about to receive, I give you thanks." And prayer is like that. That little story tells you something about the reality of prayer. Many of us don't really pray that much. And many of us really don't know how to pray. And I hope that's not true of any of us in this room. But it surely is true about the world around us. And hopefully, as we raise our kids and as we think about ourselves, we recognize the importance of prayer. We're in Matthew chapter 7. And as you're making your way through that, it seems like there's a disjunction in this text, because he's talking about judge not. Later, he's going to go about the golden rule. And in the middle, he says, ask, seek, and knock. And what does that have to do with that? And so we have been going through this passage. We understand it gives you the restriction on wrong judgment, and all the reasons for that, and all the things that are revealed if you're a critical spirit kind of person, verses 1 through 5. And it also talks about the responsibility for right judgment. You've got to be able to pick out the hogs and the dogs. And you've got to be able to know when that's important to make that discernment. And so you and I would quickly stand back and say, but how in the world can I possibly do that? First of all, God, how could you help me to get rid of this critical spirit, which is just natural? I mean, I'm born with it. You don't have to train that into anybody. You're born with a critical spirit. And how do I get rid of that? And how do I get rid of the log that's in my own eye? How can I possibly do that? And how can I walk up to a brother with a speck and help him to remove that? Because that's what we're supposed to do, but not if we have a log in our own eye. And how can I ever discern hogs and dogs and discern the right kind of judgment I'm supposed to have? And it seems like after the first six verses, we come to the point of saying, impossible. You're talking like pie in the sky. Who could possibly live that kind of a life? And he says, well, let's try something. Verse 7. Why don't you ask? And it'll be given to you. Why don't you seek? And you'll find. Why don't you knock? And it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks will receive, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. As you read verse 7 through verse 11 on this ask and seek and knock, you recognize it's going to tell you something about prayer and some of the elements of prayer and some of the ways that we have to pray. So let's just look at ask and seek and knock and make sure we understand what that is. It's really, really simple. But why three of them? And are they the same? Or is there a difference in them and you understand that they are different? You don't have to look too long before you realize that ask starts with A and has three letters, and seek starts with S and has four letters, and knock is a five-letter word, starts with K. So they have to be different things. To ask is different than to seek, and to seek is different than to knock, and how do they relate? You understand that ask means this. You know, our God wants us to ask. He wants us to verbalize it. He wants us to actually come to Him and ask for things. You say, I don't have to do that. He already knows. He's all-knowing. Well, He still wants you to come. And He still wants you to ask. And He says to you, make sure you do it. In fact, remember James said it this way, you have not because you ask not. It's not that God doesn't know your need. It's not that God can't supply your need. It's that God, not that God doesn't love you and would be more than willing to help you out in your need. But if you don't ask, you might not receive. God wants you and me to ask for it. That's pretty profound if you think about it. The eternal God of this universe wants me to come boldly to His throne of grace and to ask. He wants me every day to walk up into His presence and say, My Heavenly Father, today I need wisdom, or today I need strength, or today I need, or today I want, or today there's somebody else I know, or whatever it might be. Ask for it. You say, that's all I have to do. He says, no. You got to seek. You and I quickly understand something about seek. That means to look for it. You got to ask for it, then you got to look for it. One says you have to express it. The other says you have to expect it. One is all about asking. One is all about anticipation. So now I've asked Him for it. I said, Lord, give me wisdom. Start looking. Too often we say, Lord, give us wisdom, and we don't look. We don't take the time to look and anticipate and expect wisdom. We're the kind of people who ask and leave it there and walk away, and we forget that we ever asked. He says, I want you to ask for it, and I want you to look for it. I want you to be the kind of people that are aggressively and actively looking for what you've just asked for. God, I need food today. I'm very hungry. Go look for it. And you and I quickly understand that all the way through life, except for the supernatural miracles, which are really quite rare in all of history, there's always a divine explanation for what has happened in our life, and there's also a natural explanation for what has happened in our life. And so we ask for it. He says, now go look for it. Anticipate it. Expect it. It's kind of like going to your mom and saying, Mom, at least when I was a kid, hey, Mom, I'd like a dish of ice cream. And she would say, it's in the freezer. She would expect me to go to it and go get it. And I could have it, but I asked for it and I had to go look for it. The last one is knock. You understand that there's a door. Anytime you knock, there's a door in the way. There's an obstacle. There's something that keeps you from what it is that you're going for. And so He says, not only ask for it and look for it, go for it. Don't just stand there on the outside and say, I hope He opens the door someday. Have you ever been at places like that where you go to a house and you just stand outside and you really hope that somewhere along the line they're going to open the door for you? If you ever saw me do that, you'd say, there's something wrong with Pastor Rich. He's standing at the door. He's not knocking. You got to ask for it. You got to look for it. You got to go for it. You got to knock. You got to seek it. One is asking. One is anticipation. One is action. And you and I understand that we really have to put into action what we have just asked God for. You ask for wisdom. Why don't you go study your Bible? Well, I'm just going to ask for wisdom and sit back and hope He gives it to me. No. Why don't you go look for it? Why don't you go knock for it? Why don't you go after it? When you put all those three together, you recognize that when you think about prayer, the ask, seek, and knock, it is saying this, we have to pray aggressively. That's what God wants us to do. We're asking. We're not keeping it quiet. We're seeking. We're knocking. We're aggressively out there. Can you believe it today? The eternal God wants me to aggressively come into His presence and ask. And aggressively look for it, expecting Him to answer that. Aggressively knocking. Aggressively getting out there. And the eternal God wants me to do that. I love the story of Esther and King Ahasuerus. You all know that story in the book of Esther. Here she was, basically the queen of the land, and here's the king. He's just a man, but he's the queen of the land. Do you remember when she had a request? They said, Mordecai said, you got to go talk to that king or we're all going to die. She said, I can't do it. If I walk in and he doesn't hold out the scepter, I'm dead. She said, well, if you don't do it, you're going to be dead too. Why don't you go in and ask? The queen was reluctant and afraid to go into the presence of the king because he had a power to kill her. And tonight the eternal God says to me, a nobody, I want you to ask. I want you to come boldly to the throne of grace to find help in time of need. I want you to do that. I want you to ask. And so I have to ask myself, do I ask and seek and knock? Do I pray aggressively? Do I really go to the throne of grace? Or do I expect Him to just give me stuff because I didn't ask, I didn't seek, or I didn't knock? You have not because you asked not. We have to pray aggressively. Well, as you read those words, ask and seek and knock, you quickly pick up as well, especially in the original language, that it's in the tense that says, keep doing it. More importantly, it would be translated this way. Develop the habit of asking. Develop the habit of seeking. Develop the habit of knocking. And when you put that into perspective, you realize that what he is saying is that we not only have to ask aggressively, we have to ask persistently. We have to pray with a persistence and a continuation in our lives. You could run through a host of verses in your mind, I'm sure, tonight, that would help you to understand how God just wants us to keep coming back. You ever have somebody who wanted something from you, and then they start to pester you, drive you nuts? Every day they're back, and they're saying, Dad, 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 can I? Like, quiet, son. And you know what's true about our God? Every day He wants me to show up again and say, but Heavenly Father, where's the red bike? Heavenly Father, where's the red bike? Heavenly Father, where's the red bike? He wants us to continually and ceaselessly pray. Here are some verses. I know you know them. At all times we're still supposed to pray. Romans 12 and verse 12 says, continuing steadfast in prayer. Ephesians 6 and verse 18, praying always. Colossians 4 verse 2, continue earnestly in prayer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 17, this morning's message, pray without ceasing, just keep going. James chapter 5, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. You know the examples from Luke chapter 11, the parable of the persistent friend. In Luke chapter 18, the two ends of that pericope of messages right there from Luke 11, he starts with and he ends with. And in Luke chapter 18, the parable of the persistent widow. How God likes persistent friends who keep knocking at your door and say, you got to get up, you got to give me bread. Or the widow who keeps coming to God and keeps asking and asking and asking. And God wants us to be those who pray at all times and for everything, for every event in life. And He wants us to be persistent in that. Do you realize, as we read this morning, or thought this morning, Philippians chapter 4, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. You just keep coming to God and coming to God and coming to God and make it a developed habit of your life that in everything, by prayer and supplication, you let your requests be made known unto God. You would think God would get tired of you and me coming. Every day we got something else we're whining about. Every day we got something else we need. Every day we got something else we want to unload on Him and cast our cares on Him. You'd think He'd eventually say, handle it yourself. But that is not our God. My God wants me to bring everything in my life to Him. He wants me to download every care that I have. He wants me to take all of my supplications and prayers to Him. And He wants me to pray aggressively. And He wants me to pray persistently, never, ever giving up. And can you imagine it? The eternal God not only wants me to come boldly, He wants me to keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. Every day, every event, everything, bring it to me. He never gets tired of my cry, nor of yours. Now, as you read on, you recognize that we not only pray aggressively and we pray persistently, but as you read on, you realize here's what it says. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. You know what happens when you ask? You get it. You know what happens when you're looking for it? You find it. You know what happens when you knock? The door is open. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Your God is not a reluctant God, and neither is mine. Your God and my God is the God who wants us to ask, and He'll quickly give it to us. Wants us to seek, He'll quickly let us find it. Wants us to knock, and the doors fly open. The other day I was in the house, I knocked, no one came. I knocked, no one came. I knocked, no one came. I went to the car, they came. My God's not like that. I knock, boom, door's open. He wants me to pray expectantly. He wants me to come into His presence and ask and seek and knock and expect that He's going to give. He's going to help me to find. He's going to open and remove the obstacles that are between me and whatever it is that I'm looking for. I have to come aggressively and persistently, but I have to come expectantly. And you and I understand from James, if you come with any doubt, he says to you, if you ask and there's doubt in your heart, why did you come and ask? If you didn't think God was going to help you anyway, don't bring it to Him. We do not come expecting Him not to answer us. We come expecting Him to answer us because we have seen that to be true. And not only is it stated here in verse 7, but it's been supported. As you read through this, you recognize there's a contrast going on in verse 8 and verse 9 and verse 10 and verse 11. And it goes like this. Verse 9, for what man is there among you who, and you know the account. You can imagine the location where they are. They've been around the Sea of Galilee. They've gone up into the Mount of the Beatitudes. He's pulled His disciples away. And somewhere along the line, the crowds have joined Him. Later on, a couple of days or weeks or months or later, there'll be the 5,000 they would feed. But it's that same setting. It's been a long day. He's been teaching all along. Dads are there with kids. All of a sudden, a little kid says, hey, Dad, I'm really getting hungry. And Dad says, here's a stone. Or here's a snake. He said, I want you to think about this. Even you, what man is there among you who, when his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? What man that you even know anywhere, when his son asks for fish, will he give him a snake? Do you understand that you always give what is needed to those who are your kids? When they say, Dad, give me a loaf of bread or a fish, you give it to him. You don't give him a stone or a snake. Now you understand that a stone would have looked like a little loaf of bread. And a snake would have looked like the fish. So you don't deceive them. You don't give them something that they really don't need. In fact, he says this as you drop down to verse 11. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts, do you know that your earthly and your evil fathers gave you what you asked for? They didn't trick you. They didn't somehow deceive you. They didn't limit you. When you asked for the basic necessities of life, the things that you really needed, evil and earthly fathers give it to you. You know why? Because they're your dad. If you stood in the midst of the crowd of the 5,000 and said, I'm hungry. I need loaves and fishes. Perhaps there'd be some very gracious people that would have fed you. But for sure it'd been your dad. Earthly and evil fathers give what's needed in the lives of their kids. And if then it is true that you, being evil, know how to give good gifts, and there's a play on that contrast, you aren't so hot. By the way, that is a very important principle that's found throughout Scripture, that you are a sinner. It's not that you have done evil, but that you are evil. It's not that you just do sin, but that you are a sinner. And especially in the context of what he's saying here about wrong judgment and right judgment and hogs and dogs and all that kind of stuff going on. Do you understand that we relate to and we are a part of a group that is evil? And therefore we expect people to wrong us. That doesn't surprise us. We expect people to be evil. Because it's their nature, and that's what he's saying. And that helps us when we have this critical spirit to realize that, you know, I can't go ballistic because somebody wronged me. I can't go ballistic because somebody was unfair to me. I can't go ballistic because something happened that wasn't right. That's what I expect. If you then being evil, it's a part of who we are. And in spite of that, if you being evil know how to give good gifts, guess what also is true? Would you not therefore conclude, verse 11, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? And He has not only stated, if you ask, you receive, and if you seek, you find, if you knock, it's open to you, but He's supported it, He has shown it with a proof that should just strike our hearts and our lives, because our fathers who were evil and earthly, when we had some real basic needs of life, we were hungry, they made sure we ate. And if earthly and evil fathers do that, surely heavenly and holy fathers would do even greater than that. What He says to you and to me is that we come and we pray expectantly. We expect our Father to answer, to give, to open, and to help us to find. In fact, you remember Paul would say in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, as we pray, He does exceedingly, abundantly, above what we ask or think. He's the Heavenly Father who does even better than your earthly father and even better than your evil fathers. You asked for bread and they gave you bread, not stones. You asked for meat or fish, they gave you fish and not snakes. And your Heavenly Father, expect Him to do exceedingly, abundantly, above what you ask or what you think. We have a great Father. He wants us to come aggressively. He wants us to come persistently. We just keep knocking at the door. We just keep coming there every day with new stuff. And today I need this, and today I need this, and today I need this. He wants us to do that. And He wants us to come expectantly. Not thinking, oh, He'll never give it to me, but I'm going to ask anyway. He'll never give it to me. We expect Him to give it to us. Well, there's more to it. As you go down in this text, as you understand from this text, if you then being evil, or verse 9, or what man is there among you? What father is there? You understand that a key to this whole thing is it's a father and child. In fact, that's a key to everything here. The reason our prayers are answered partially is because we are children of a heavenly Father. He's our Father who is in heaven. And so what He is trying to get across is this. We are to pray aggressively and persistently and expectantly, but we're also to pray dependently. You're a kid. You're the kid here, and so am I. And like every kid who can't supply everything he needs but is dependent on his mom and dad to supply his food and his clothing and all the other things, it's a part of life. Every kid has come to recognize that if it weren't for mom and dad, I wouldn't be eating. I wouldn't have a place to stay. I wouldn't have all that kind of stuff. You and I have come to recognize that we depend upon our Heavenly Father for everything. And He likes that. He wants that to be true. The eternal God of this universe wants me and you to pray dependently. And we come and say, oh, Father, give us this day our daily bread. Oh, Father, today I need wisdom. Oh, Father, I'm just a kid here. I'm not too good at this whole thing, and I surely don't have the resources that you have. And so I come and I depend upon you. Can you imagine it today? Our Heavenly Father just says, come as a child. You don't say, oh God, if you give that to me, then I'll do this for you. Or, oh God, if I work real hard, will you give it to me? You just come like every kid comes to every dad and says, Dad, I'm hungry today. Please give me food. And we pray dependently. Finally, there's one last thing that you pick up as you read that. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? When you pick up that little phrase, good things, you understand, we are to pray correctly. Often we miss that last one. We think we can ask for anything. We think we can ask for the wildest dreams of our life. He says, no, it's when you come to your dad, your Heavenly Father in this case, you say, I'm really hungry. And I need bread and I need fish. And your Father says, sure. If evil and earthly fathers know how to give good things, your Heavenly and Holy Father surely knows how to give good things, and we pray correctly. You and I understand that he's just saying this in this midst of this whole context of judgment. There's a restriction on wrong judgment. Judge not, that you be not judged. There's a responsibility for right judgment. Make sure you understand hogs and dogs and who you give and who you do not give, that which is pure and precious too. And when you step back and you feel so limited, you say, how in the world could I possibly do that? He says, why don't you ask for it? And why don't you seek it? And why don't you knock for it? Pray aggressively. Pray persistently. Pray expectantly. Pray dependently. And pray correctly. And we do. We come with all those characteristics of our prayers to our Heavenly Father. As you know, I got a chart up here of prayer preventers. And we could study these. Just put them all up there at once if you can, Brent. I won't even read them for you. You could go down through the Scripture. I'm sure there are others that you could even find. There are certain things that prevent us from our prayers really being answered because we don't pray correctly. If you ask anything in my name, it's always a condition there. And so there are all kinds of reasons that our prayers may not be answered. But when we pray for good things, we pray in His name, and we pray correctly, then we can expect to receive and find and knock. I love this quote from John Stott. Prayer is not a convenient device for imposing our will on God or for bending His will to ours, but it's the prescribed way of subordination of our will to His. It is by prayer that we seek God's will, embrace it, and align ourselves with it. Every true prayer is a variation on the theme, Thy will be done. Our Master taught us to say this in the pattern of prayer, and He gave us and added the supreme example of it in Gethsemane. Prayer is not about getting your will done on earth. It's about getting His will done, the one who is in heaven. And that's why we're going to pray. And I trust that as we come, we recognize the tremendous privilege. Here's Esther, with great fear, walking to the king, saying, I don't know if I can ask Him. I surely don't come boldly. And the eternal God says to you and to me, why don't you come boldly to the throne of grace to find help in time of need? The next chart is just the Lord's Prayer. And we're going to have these men come. If they had all come at this time, we're just going to have a time of prayer. Come on up, Lucas and all the guys who was ever praying. And they're just going to start off. David Tebbenkamp, Pastor Kevin Tebbenkamp, is going to start us off with a prayer. And then I'm not sure the order here. Lucas, I know, is somewhere in there, and on it will go. So you're going to bow your head and close your eyes, and Pastor Tebbenkamp's going to start you off. He's going to pray for a while and go to Lucas and write on down. And they're not even going to say amen. They're just going to keep praying, so we'll handle that okay. And at the end, I'll close. But just lead us in a great time of prayer, men, and help us to see the hand of God.
Father, we come to You and we thank You for who You are. We thank You for the reminder in Scripture and Romans chapter 8 that we can come to You and call You our Father, our Daddy. And Lord, with those things in mind, we ask that You would hear us now. And Lord, as needy children come to their earthly fathers, we come to You today and ask You to minister to us in a very, very great way.
Dear God, I thank You for this day, and I pray that we'll keep Your name set apart, and that we'll not take Your name in vain, and we'll honor and glorify Your name.
Father, we pray that Your kingdom will come. We thank You, Father, that You chose us to be part of Your kingdom. We thank You that You gave us the faith, that You gave us the power, that You gave us the ability to be part of Your kingdom. And we do pray for Your kingdom to come in the future sense, that we just so look forward to that day when You will come and literally establish Your kingdom on the earth. And Father, we are driven to that because we are so weary of seeing the condition of the world. We are so weary of seeing the evil, the sin, the immorality that goes on around us. And so we do pray for Your kingdom to come. But as much as we want it to come, Father, we also thank you that you are delaying your kingdom. Because for every day that you delay your kingdom, Father, your kingdom grows. That souls are added daily to your kingdom. That souls are strengthened daily for your kingdom. And so we would pray tonight, Father, especially tonight for the missionaries that we support, the missionaries who are out in the field, who are working. We would just pray that your Holy Spirit would empower them and direct them, that your Spirit would work in the lives of people as they minister to them, that they would be able to bring them into your kingdom, and then to have the ability to strengthen them as well, to build them up, to make them strong members of your kingdom. Father, we just pray, your kingdom come.
Father, we pray your will be done. As the psalmist said, Lord, I desire to do your will, O my God. And as Pastor preached this morning in 1 Thessalonians, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will. And in 1 John, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And finally in Romans chapter 1 and 2, or chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the Creator God. You are the sustainer of this universe. You are the sustainer of each and every one of us. And Lord, we thank you that we as children can come to you and ask for our daily bread, ask for our needs. And Lord, we just thank you that you are a God that sees us and hears us and knows before we even utter it what we need. And Lord, as the Creator, you own everything, and we appreciate it when you give to us. Lord, we as a congregation have a number of needs. Collectively as a church, we thank you for your provision for us, your guidance and direction, and our pastors, we thank you for that. Then, Lord, individually, we thank you for our food and our clothing and our homes and everything that you've given to us. And, Lord, we thank you for the daily bread that you provided. And we ask that and can trust you that you'll continue to provide that for us.
Father in heaven, we come before you tonight and think of your holiness and your righteousness and your utter perfection, Lord, and naturally, in light of that, we think of our own sinfulness, Father. We know that our hearts are deceitful above all things and are desperately wicked, Father, and we know that we let you down day by day and betray your trust, and we know that these hurt you and they hurt our relationship with you. Father, we pray today that you would forgive us our sins. We know that it's you and you alone who we sin against. We rebel against you. We disregard your law. We count worthless your words. And Father, I pray today that you would bring conviction on our hearts. We know there are sins that we have not confessed, Father, that perhaps we were not aware of, or perhaps we're trying to deny as sin. And Father, I pray you would bring conviction through your Holy Spirit and through your Holy Word. Lord, we know it's these sins that would condemn us to hell. We know that we are cursed by not keeping the whole law and that we are dead in our sins, Father. And we know that this has broken our relationship with you. How can you have a relationship with people who have treated you with such contempt? And Father, in our helplessness and just our utter desperation, Lord, we cry out to you, and we know that you hear our cry. You sought to restore that relationship with us. You demonstrated your love for us while we were yet sinners, by sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to take our penalty, Father, so that we might have forgiveness that we seek, We know that he came to suffer for us, Father. We know he took the punishment we deserved. He took the death that we've earned. And Lord, we know that we put him there. Every sin we've committed, we drove the nails through his hands, and we tread across his blood every time we sin, Father. I pray today that you would grant us repentance, Father, as that too is a gift from you. We pray that we would turn from our sin and turn toward the Savior. We know you're faithful. If we confess our sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive us all our sins. You'll separate them as far as the east is from the west. You'll cast them to the bottom of the ocean. And you'll remember them no more. And that we can stand fully justified in your presence through the blood of Jesus Christ. We pray today that we would not forget the forgiveness you've granted, Father, though we've been freed from our sin, freed from the regret of it. Father, help us not to forget the forgiveness, for we know that those who have been forgiven much love much, and that's our desire, to love you.
And I pray, Father, that you would lead us not into temptation. Father, I pray that we would come dependent upon you for strength to avoid the things that tempt us. And I ask, God, that you would enable us to resist the devil and flee from him. I pray that we would be like Joseph in Genesis, who resisted and fled and ran from temptation. Lord, and I pray that we would be like Jesus as we fight against temptation, that we would use the Word of God as our source for strength. And Father, I pray that you would deliver us from evil one. For we know that it is because of you that we can be delivered, that you provide a way out for us when we are tempted. I pray that you would open our eyes to see where we are tempted, and that you would give us strength to fight.
And would you stand with me, and we'll repeat the Lord's Prayer. Close your eyes, and we'll continue to pray, and just repeat with me the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And all of God's people said, Amen. Well, go out this week and ask, and seek, and knock. Because to everyone who asks, it's given. To everyone who seeks, they find. To everyone who knocks, the door is open. And if you don't believe that, what man is there among you who, when his son would ask for loaves and fishes, would he possibly give him stones or snakes? You have a great Heavenly Father. Have a great week. Make sure you greet one another as you leave tonight. The Lord bless you.